Good morning. The Broward County Planning Council meeting will begin in 1 minute. For those of you in the audience, please silence or turn off your cell phone at this time. Welcome to the Broward County Planning Council Monthly Meeting, webcast live from the Broward County Government Center, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The fundamental role of the Council is to promote coordinated, comprehensive, long-range planning throughout Broward County through the joint cooperation and participation of local governments, public officials, and private citizens. And now, the monthly meeting of the Broward County Planning Council.
October 23rd, it is 10 a.m. If we can, please call the roll, Karen. Where did I go to start with the Pledge of Allegiance? I can't read. Commissioner Fisher, could you lead us in the pledge? Sorry,
yes, sir.
Got all out of sorts with so few people here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Now, Karen, please call the roll.
Ms. Jessica Abramson?
Here.
Mayor Felicia Brunson? Mayor Angelo Castillo?
Here.
Dr. Marady Fernandez? Commissioner Lamar P. Fisher?
Here.
Mr. Adam M. Geller? Mayor Michelle J. Gomez. Ms. Ryan Greenberg. Mayor Rex Hardin.
Here.
Councilmember Denise Appleby-Horland.
Here, here.
Mayor Josh Levy.
Here. Here.
Commissioner Letitia Newbold.
Here.
Mayor Jackie Raley. Mr. David Rosenoff. Mayor Michael J. Ryan.
He's asked for excused absence.
Yes.
School Board Member Alan Zeman. And Mr. Thomas H. DiGiorgio, Jr.
Present. There are some folks online that they're having a little bit of problem with their Zoom. So, Ms. Blake Boyd, if you could see who's online, you could read into the record for us, please.
We have Mayor Gomez is online. Mr. Adam Geller is online. Mr. David Rosenoff is online. And Dr. Alan Zeman is online.
Outstanding.
And I think, I'm not sure if Mayor Brunson is online or not. And if she's not, she may be joining us. But I would ask for an excused absence and an abundance of caution for her in the case that she does not make it.
Excellent. So now that we're back on track, sorry for a little bit of an odd start this morning with the Zoom going down, a few folks not here, but we're ready to go. Ms. Blake Boy, anything for the consent agenda we need to be concerned about?
Yes, the addition of excused absence requests from Mayor Raley, Dr. Fernandez, Mayor Ryan, just a few minutes ago, emailed in for an excused absence, and then, like I said, Mayor Brunson, just in case, because she is at an event this morning.
Excellent. I entertain a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mayor Castillo to approve the consent agenda, second by Mayor Harden. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
And just one more thing, I should have mentioned this. The final agenda always includes the additional agenda material that was provided to you yesterday. That was the written excused absence request, and then the correspondence related to item PH3. There were, I think, four or five additional letters of opposition, and then one letter of support that was included. So that was included in your approval.
Excellent. Thank you. Item R1, council report.
Mayor, Mr. Chair, on the council report, just a brief on, and I think Barb will talk a little bit about SB 180. As you know or may know, two lawsuits have been filed against the state with regard to SB 180, one filed by the Thousand Friends of Florida, one filed by 25 cities and counties, which I think is up to 27 or 28 now. And a number of bills have been coming out. As this is now getting a lot of notoriety, and with possible solutions of various types. I mean, it's all over the place right now, and it's very preliminary, so nothing that can be relied upon. But we will keep you posted of as to anything that looks substantial that is moving, you know, closer. So normally I give you an end of the session report, but I think I'll be doing monthlies and even emails as necessary if something's super significant. And a couple of interesting bills have been least discussed. So we'll let you know. But you know, as the subcommittee has two sets of, you know, amendments, some that are being kind of held pending further action by the legislature, it's important to stay on top of it, and we will.
Excellent. Thank you, Andy. For those online, if you have questions and you can't be heard, just please text Ms. Blake Boy any questions you might have until we get that little item fixed. Is that okay, Ms. Blake Boy, with you?
Sure. I think that everyone online should have my cell phone number.
Perfect. Okay. Ms. Blake Boy.
Thank you. A quick, I think, director's report this morning, just a couple of housekeeping items, and then a Broward Next update. First, I want to introduce our new staff member, Mercedes Mejia. She joins us, I think she might be, she's in the back. She is our new, she's our new GIS support person. She's working closely with Kim, and we actually found her through, she was an intern with another county agency, so we may have stolen her. So that actually rounds out our staff to nine members. We had talked about that at the budget discussion earlier this year.
Excellent.
So I just want to introduce you all to Mercedes.
Welcome on board.
The other next item, December 4th is your next meeting. I know that members Horland, Brunson, and Gomez are not able to attend the December 4th meeting. So just a reminder, if you can send me those excused absence requests, and if anyone else has an issue with that date, we do have an anticipated pretty full agenda that day. So there will likely be a meeting. It's just a reminder for that. Broward Next update. The steering committee met last Thursday. I think it was a very fruitful discussion about how to move forward in light of what Andy was just mentioning related to Senate Bill 180 and this more restrictive or burdensome language, and kind of how to manage that with the unanticipated impacts of what the state agencies are issuing for comments and finding and deeming plans null and void based on an assumption that no one really knows what it means. So we've developed a plan and strategy to move forward. Planning Council staff will be setting up two workshops probably like early December and early to mid-January, and then the feedback from that on what we are moving forward on, and then anything that we're talking about holding in abeyance until such time that there is some sort of resolution to 180, we're creating a separate document for that that would also be posted online, and that those policies and modifications that will be held in abeyance will be ready to move to a workshop when we feel confident in either a legislative or other type of challenge resolving the concern with 180. So that's what's happening with that. As always, everything is posted to the Broward Next page on the Broward.org website, and we continue to get feedback from interested parties. And since we have set forth what is anticipated for public hearing, I anticipate more comments related specifically to those issues.
So excellent. Any questions for Ms. Blakeboy regarding where we stand on the steering committee? Very good work with you and your team again, Barbara. Thank you for that.
Thank you. So for the public hearing items today, there are three public hearing items, and I'm going to just let you know individually what's happening with each of them. Item PH1 is a proposed traffic ways waiver on State Road A1A. A single-family lot that fronts A1A is required a 10-foot dedication. Planning Council staff recommends approval of the proposed traffic ways waiver. Your action is the final action on the item because it will not be going through platting. No review agencies, including the Florida Department of Transportation, have objected to it. They've all generally supported of it, as well as the City of Hollywood. The applicant has confirmed that with the 10-foot waiver, there will be no permanent structures within those 10 feet in the case that there is an improvement that is not currently or projected for the future right now. The applicant for that is Ryan Horland, and I mention that because Council Member Denise Horland has already signed her conflict for voting, so she's going to need to abstain from any vote that's taken on PH1 if you go with staff's recommendation or whatever you choose to do.
And she is, by the statement, she's placing that in the record as one of the things that need to be done, that she has declared a conflict and will not be voting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that, and I proudly recused myself.
Of course you do, Mom.
No, she was very, very quick to take care of that.
So the only speakers on item PH1 are the applicant. There's no members of the public signed in to speak on that. Item PH2 is a proposed land use plan amendment in the...
Why don't we go ahead and just move it?
Yeah.
We have a motion by Commissioner Fisher, a second by Mayor Hardin to approve PH1, stated as written. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And for the record again, Councilmember Denise Horland did not vote on that item.
Yes, and we will file the form with the minutes from the meeting.
Excellent. Item PH2.
PH2 is a small-scale amendment in the City of Weston. There is no one signed in to speak on the item except for the agent, applicant, or city of Weston. It's a proposed change from residential to commerce within a dash line area. It's just under 1.5 acres. There are sufficient facilities and services to serve the proposed land use. Planning Council staff recommends approval. It's ultimately going to be utilized as a self-storage facility.
We have a motion to approve PH2 by Mayor Castillo, second by Mayor Hardin. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
I just want to let you know I don't have any text messages so far.
Excellent. Item PH3.
Item PH3, there are the applicant as well as one. I have two members of the public sign in to speak. Is that correct? Okay. Okay, perfect. So I have two members of the public signed in to speak on that item. So I'd like to give a brief overview of the proposed amendment, and then the applicant has, I don't know if he's going to use the slides. He has a couple of slides to share with you, and then the members of the public, and then turn it back to you at that point.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. So the proposed amendment is actually located in unincorporated Broward County. So just a reminder of how applications in unincorporated Broward County come to us. They are transmitted by the County Commission to the Broward County Planning Council for Broward County Land Use Plan Amendment, but the County Commission has not yet made a recommendation on it. So they have, because generally if it comes from the City of Plantation, the City of Plantation has already said we support this. It's a little bit different because the county has countywide land use authority, and it's this interesting system that we have. And so this is the first hearing at the county for this item, and the County Commission will likely consider adoption of the Broward County Land Use Plan Amendment and the unincorporated Broward County or Broward Municipal Services District Amendment at the same hearing, just to let you know that. So that's, we coordinate with the county staff on the timing of that amendment. So this proposed amendment is from community use to medium 16 residential. It would potentially add up to 630 dwelling units to the Broward County Land Use Plan. We'll talk about the number a little bit more detail in a moment. Sufficient facilities and services are available to serve the proposed land use, including transportation and schools. This site, it's a rather unique site. I actually drive by it twice a day. And, you know, sometimes I've been in the neighborhood a couple of times to look at it. It's been vacant, you know, essentially for the life of it. The City of Fort Lauderdale is the current property owner, and they'll ultimately be turning it over to the City of Fort Lauderdale Housing Authority. It was initially purchased in the very early 1950s to potentially be used as a well field site, and it was never used as that. So just an interesting piece of the history of the property. The applicant has acknowledged when we went through the review agency comments, this site is on the Broward County, on the Natural Resource Map Series ESL map. So there's a series of environmental comments that came through, and the applicant has acknowledged all of the licensing and permitting requirements that will go through, including the modification potentially of the ESL site. A land use plan change does not, it does not intimate that development will happen until any of that happens. So just because the land use change happens doesn't mean that none of that is going to happen. The applicant, so obviously 630 dwelling units, this amendment is subject to Broward County Land Use Plan Policy 2.16.2 regarding affordable housing. And this is a really interesting amendment. So through the course of their discussion over several years, the applicant with the District County Commissioner, who's Steve Geller, and the residents, they actually are going to there's going to be two pieces to the residential development. There's going to be a single family piece that faces the street that's primarily single family on the west side of the property, and then the remainder of the property will be used for multifamily. Right now, they're targeting about 474 multifamily units, and all of those would be some level of affordability up to 120%, which is the moderate income level, and that would be preserved for a period of at least 30 years. As I mentioned, the applicant's been working with the surrounding civic association as well as the district commissioner the past couple of years, and this development scenario is a result of those discussions. In addition to the county side of it, we talked about the Broward Municipal Services District. The applicant has made several commitments in writing that are included into your backup to Senator Geller, including a maximum building height of 3 stories or 35 feet for the multifamily, the 34 single family homes that will be market rate, access and traffic circulation considerations, and then amenities that will go along with the multifamily units, and then the situation of the single family along the west side of the property. Planning Council staff recommends approval, recognizing the commitment that up to, and I need to change that language in the staff report. It actually says at least 474. It should be up to. We'll make that correction as the report moves forward. 474 multifamily dwelling units will be retained as affordable housing for a period of at least 30 years. So at the conclusion, whatever your recommendation is today, that will be forwarded to the County Commission, as I mentioned, and they'll take both amendments up at the same time for consideration. Robert Lockery is the agent for the applicant, if you're ready for him to come forward.
Mr. Lockery, good morning.
Good morning to the members of the Planning Council. My name is Robert Lockery, attorney for the Fort Lauderdale Housing Authority, or the Housing Authority of the City of Fort Lauderdale. I think your staff has done such a good report. There's not a lot to add. However, just a couple elements to kind of give you a background on why we're here and how we're here. As Barbara pointed out, the property was originally acquired by the City of Fort Lauderdale back in 1951 for utility services, well fields, the water plant that was just to the east of this site, et cetera. The property has gone unused since that time. There's an archery outfit that rents it currently. As we all know, the county has challenged its cities and its municipal partners to continue to work on the affordable housing crisis that we see here in Broward County. And as a result of that, the Housing Authority of Fort Lauderdale, over the last 50, which has been in existence for 80 years, its purpose, of course, is to provide safe, modern, affordable housing for residents of Broward County, over the last 15 years has built thousands of new units throughout the city of Fort Lauderdale. Some of those attempts or approaches have also included using city property that was not being used for a city purpose, where the city would partner with the Housing Authority and come in with a new development. And that is the case with this application. The original agreement with the City of Fort Lauderdale was back actually in 2021. And as it was alluded to, we've had a lot of discussions regarding this project as we've gone through the process. And most importantly, recently, have been working very closely with the District County Commissioner. There's a backup item in your backup. There's a letter to him which discusses many of the obligations that we've placed upon ourselves with the development of this. And probably the most significant is that on the western portion of the property, as Barbara indicated, along 46th, we would not have access from the multifamily into that area. Rather, those would be all single-family homes, and there would be 34 single-family homes facing the single-family homes that are to the west. The multifamily units would be on the east side of the property where you're adjacent to other multifamily zoning and multifamily units. A couple other things that aren't part of this, that aren't really a land use issue, but I think it's important to know, particularly when you know that, in this case, the county government and the municipal service government are the same body. So other things that the county will be looking at in their process is a limitation of three stories on buildings that are built, a requirement that access to the site for the multifamily is into the multifamily neighborhood, the single family is into the single family, although there is connectivity with pedestrian walkways, meaning with complete streets. We preserve as much of the natural habitat that's on the site. Candidly, there's a lot of invasives there, but what can be saved will be saved as far as the tree canopy, as well as working with the county very closely on the on drainage and issues like that. With that said, I'm going to walk you through just real quickly. I said I wasn't going to do it, but now I'm doing it. Walk you through real quickly some of the transitions that have been done. Here's the current land use. Again, multifamily in this case, east is at the top, and to the west is at the bottom, so that's where the residential is. The proposal is to make it consistent with the land use that is to our east. This was the initial site plan. I will say this too, the agreement with the City of Fort Lauderdale allows, of course, it's up to ultimately to the Planning Council and the County Commission what can be built, but the city was encouraging up to 1,000 units on this site. That's a really dense project. The project that was first proposed was about 800 units. And working with, again, with based on things we heard from the neighborhood and working with the District County Commissioner, that was reduced at one point to 550 multifamily with the single family on the west. It was reduced down to 513. We're now at 474 multifamily affordable housing units with the remaining 34 single family units facing the area to the east. These are just some views of this is a view of the single family homes that would be built adjacent to the single family home neighborhood. This is those homes and then the multifamily beyond it. And then these are examples of other multifamily products that have been built by the Housing Authority throughout the City of Fort Lauderdale and in Broward County. That's an overview. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I'd also like a few minutes at the end if I need to discuss any items that members of the public may bring up.
Thank you, Mr. Lockery. Question. Mayor Castillo.
It occurs to me to ask, so this is unincorporated.
It is, yeah.
What are the contiguous cities to it?
You have City of Fort Lauderdale to the east of this neighborhood. There's no contiguous directly adjacent to this piece. Plantation to the north and Davie to the south.
It, has there been any discussion about a city annexing the property and it become part of their city?
Mr. Lockery can understand that, but the city has been reluctant into annexing Broadview in general into the city itself. We've requested it, but they have reluctantly not elected to do so.
Thank you.
Commissioner? No, I appreciate you jumping in. You have firsthand knowledge.
Good. Thank you.
Councilmember Horwath.
Good morning, Mr. Lockery.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
So, and yes, there had been a discussion many years ago, Mayor Castillo, about annexation, but it, what we understand as the residents of Broadview do not want that. Hypothetically, with Live Local legislation, could this have been a Live Local project?
Currently, the designation is, as I said, it's a utility district. Mm-hmm. It's community. Community is not called out specifically in the legislation, although I will say every municipality is looking at Live Local differently. If you look at the legislation, I'm going to answer this. I'm not going to give you a yes or no. I'll tell you that right away. If you look at the legislation itself, rather than our traditional concepts of uses, there are cities that are now having to face the fact that if you've got different types of uses in different categories, then it's a mixed-use district and it could apply. So the answer is I haven't analyzed it as a Live Local project. It wouldn't traditionally be a Live Local that I would think of, but it possibly could.
Right, but we understand the sands have been shifting under our feet the last
That's
couple
correct.
Years with this.
That's correct. That's correct, as of July. That's right.
And I ask you that question for specific reasons once we hear for the from the residents. So thank you for that.
One thing I will add is we are providing our Live Local, as you all know, is 40% affordable.
Mm-hmm.
We're at about 98%. Workforce housing.
Right. And my point will be, and after we hear from the residents, because I do understand, and you know, the residents that are here today, obviously we have to judge this on different criteria than it would the county commission or even a city council, that with the Live Local legislation, if you're not familiar with it, it could be approved administratively, where there'll be no public comment and there will be no government body that would be approving it. So I want that to be clear if that is a potential. When you have a project where you can work with a developer or an agency to get a better project. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Further questions at this time?
No, I just want to mention that it strikes me that the project, and even though we're seeing, you know, the details of the community engagement over, it seems to be a long time, seems the result that we see in front of us seems to be the result of that engagement and the scale and the reduction in the intensity of what was probably initially envisioned. And what we see now is most compatible with the surrounding area is the result of all that engagement. And so it seems like we're on the tail end of a lot of work and a lot of back and forth that's been had here locally, right?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay. Ms. Blake. Yes. Commissioner Newbold.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Lockery?
I'm used to night meetings, so.
Good morning, Mr. Lockery.
How are you? It's good to see you.
You as well. I agree with my colleagues what they've said regarding this project. It seems like it was a back and forth, which to me indicates you are willing to work with the residents on what the needs are as well as what they want their neighborhood to look like. So I thank you for that. But I also want to just ask a question regarding, I know there's concern about environmental risk. Is there anything that you can add to this? Because according to the residents, they feel as though removing of the trees, and I know trees are important.
Yeah.
Removal of the trees and green areas will worsen the flooding and harm wildlife. Could you?
Yeah, absolutely. Really important question. And, you know, there's no doubt that when you have a piece of property like this, 39 acres, there's a lot of trees on it, right? Mm-hmm. There's another piece that's further to the east that doesn't have trees, interestingly. Let me suggest how we're looking at it. We've done a comprehensive tree survey of the entire property. There are a lot of invasive areas, Brazilian pepper and other invasives, that will come out. However, there are native shade trees on the site as well. The site plan is being designed to set those aside as preserve areas, which we will have to go through the county's process for environmental resource licenses, dealing with the LAPC. That'll be vetted at great length through that. And it's our hope, we're going to have a lot of open space and green space on the property just by the nature of it's a big site. So even with that many units, you really don't, you know, you don't have them all blocked up. And so we've already begun to design the site plan around those pockets, which will serve not only to keep the trees in place, but coincidentally also, and you can start to see it here, you see those green areas as well where there's nothing. It'll serve not only to preserve the trees, but also provide an amenity for the residents. I want to say, too, that none of the housing authorities, this wasn't directly a question, but I think it is important because I mentioned how all the traffic, for example, from the single families into the single family neighborhood, you don't have multifamily. But I don't want anyone to think that this is a walled off community. None of the housing authority products that have been built in the last 15 years have provided walls or gates around the community. So the community itself, our neighbors that exist today to our east and to our west, will be welcomed in through the paths and the walkways, through the green areas throughout the site. As far as drainage is concerned, the county staff will certainly make sure that we retain our water on site. They've also asked that we go a step further and to see if we can assist with the streets that are adjacent to us. We've got the land to do it, so we can also incorporate that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Lockery. Further questions? Okay. Ms. Blake Boy.
We have two public speakers signed in, Mr. David Nielsen and Ms. Angela Clem, maybe? Sorry, his last name, Clem?
Good morning,
Mr. Chair. Nielsen, good morning.
Members of the council, I'm a little nervous, so bear with me.
Well, take your time. We appreciate you being here this morning. Thank you for coming.
It's a big project, and it's way too big. So my question is, and I know that you guys don't answer questions, but have any of you driven by this piece of property? Have any of you stepped foot on this piece of property to see exactly what you're talking about and what you're voting on? Have any of you actually, besides looking at these pictures, have any of you been here to take a look at that beautiful piece of property that is the second or third highest point in Broward County? It is very high ground. And when it rains, that water comes down through our neighborhood and goes down to Lake Butterfly Lake. They're going to have to hold their water. I don't know, retention ponds or whatever they're going to do. But a couple years ago, we got a tremendous amount of rain back in April. And when that retention pond fills up, that water's going to come down into our neighborhood. That's just one of my thoughts. The other thought is if we could possibly keep this to RS5 or RS10, do not allow them their 16 units per acre. The project is too big. The cars, the traffic is going to be absolutely, we already have a tremendous amount of traffic in our neighborhood, and this is just going to add, 1,000 cars, a couple thousand more people. The only other thing that I can say is that on this piece of property was the city of Fort Lauderdale's gun range. There is a mound of dirt there as big as this hall here that has a tremendous amount of lead in it. Is it possible, Commissioner, that Broward County or somebody can hold them accountable to remove this highly toxic metal that has been there for over 40 years, before they can even do anything? That mound of dirt that is leaking down into our aquifer with that lead needs to be removed. I hear no talk from them or anybody about cleaning up the site before they can do anything. Can somebody hold them to the fire? Because they're probably just gonna spread that dirt around and there's gonna be kids there. This should not be allowed. That mound of dirt is there. And if you'd have walked it, or if you would have been on that property, you would see the mound of dirt that I'm talking about. Please, do not allow them such high density. Thank you for allowing me to talk today.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen.
Ms. Angela Clem.
Good morning, Ms. Clem.
Morning, everyone. I see you guys all got my email, correct?
Yes.
So Dave's hard to follow, but I'm nervous as well. So I'm here on behalf of the Broadview Park Civic Association, and this is basically the statement that these guys are giving to you in order to make your decision a little easier. So on behalf of the Broadview Park residents, we reiterate our strong opposition to the plan, which seeks the rezoning. This proposal threatens our neighborhood character, safety, and sustainability, and our concerns remain urgent and unchanged. The loss of community space on this land is one of the last open areas in Broadview Park historically used for recreation and wildlife, and rezoning would erase critical public asset. Destroying the critical habitats requires conservation efforts and meaningful mitigation. It's a strain on our infrastructure. Aging roads, drainage, services cannot support up to 630 new units without major investment, and this would degrade all quality of life. The housing crisis mitigation, while we support affordable housing, this plan lacks guarantee for affordable housing and risks gentrification without community benefit. The amendment has advanced with minimal outreach to Broadview Park residents who deserve a voice in the decisions that will reshape our future. And we also just want to add that even though people are moving in, I think the numbers they used were 110,000 to 120,000 people into Broward County every year. There are also, as of 2024, 85,000 to 90,000 people leaving Broward County. So with this, we urge your decision makers to reject or at least decline the R16 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you for being here this morning. Mr. Lockery.
Thank you again, members of the council. Robert Lockery on behalf of the applicant. Certainly the issues that are raised related to environmental concerns on the property are valid and are things that have to get evaluated as this process goes forward. This is the first step of that. We know, as I described, we have to go through the environmental resource license process. The county will have extra scrutiny on this site because it has been designated as an LAPC, so that's something we'll be working with the staff with. Mr. Nelson mentioned the mound of what is potentially lead out there, and he's brought that up before. We're investigating that. You know, if it was used for that purpose, we absolutely have to clean it up. That's the good news. That has to get taken up before you could ever put a shovel in the ground for a residential use. So to the extent that there's some benefit, in addition to the benefits we've already described, that's another one that this gets cleaned up. Traffic evaluations have been done. Again, this density is consistent with the density around it. It's a lot of units, but it's a lot of land. And when you spread it out and have the open space, and particularly with the single family homes, we do believe it's compatible, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. The last comment that Ms. Clem made was the commitment to affordable housing. I know you've stated it already for the record. Could you state it one more time, please?
Yeah, we are committing to we'll be signing a declaration of restrictive covenants that runs in favor of the county to restrict this to affordable. I will tell you, in our agreement with the city of Fort Lauderdale, the deed is also going to include a restriction that affordable will be in place in perpetuity. So those restrictions are there.
Okay, thank you very much. Further questions?
Mr. Chair, since you have a couple
seconds, can I reaffirm? Mr. No, that's typically not the way this happens, but I'll give you an extra second since you made the trip down this morning.
Well, thank you very much. I don't need to be a pain in the ass. There was a study done in 2021. I don't know if you're aware of it, but your own staff said it three times that the project is incompatible with our neighborhood. And also, on that report, that is an area of particular concern. They are going to address that. But once again, that property is high, high ground. And we are so afraid of when that water overflows, what it's going to do to the surrounding neighbors. Thank you for allowing me to reapproach.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair.
Mayor Castillo.
I wanted to give Mr. Lockery an opportunity to respond to the drainage concern.
Yeah, the drainage concern is one thing. I want to make sure, just for the record, was regarding staff's, where he said staff agreed that this is too dense. Do you have?
I believe that he's referring to the Broward Municipal Services District staff because they prepared a separate report and evaluation. I have the land use map just pulled up here for you to see if this land use gets approved. To the east is existing medium 16 land use designation. And although site planning is not should not be necessarily consideration of the land use, that's one of the reasons why they are putting the single family on the west side of the property, is because that is primarily single family. And then when you go to the east side of the property, it's a mix of single family and low rise multifamily, duplexes, quadplexes, triplexes. I said those out of order, sorry. but you know, up to two stories in those couple of streets where the 16 is.
Thank you for clarifying. Mayor Castillo.
Yeah. Mr. Lockery. The concern is about runoff.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
So it is one of the reasons that this is a very appropriate place for housing is that it is high ground. That is absolutely accurate. To the extent that there's runoff now, it's unabated. Once this project is approved, we will have to meet the county's drainage requirements. So there will not be runoff as we move forward. In a case of a, we're looking at, it will have to be evaluated and designed in a way to take care of storms. We know that there's more storms and they're getting worse. But again, this project won't take away from that. If anything, it'll provide additional room for storage within the neighborhood. I do want to quickly address what, and I know that Andy's going to kill me because we're getting into zoning here. But I do think it's important because Mr. Nelson brought it up. The concern that the Municipal Service District staff had was with the land use plan amendment unless we made the concessions that we've made.
Yes.
And so it's really important to know that that report went on and said, however, those would be mitigated if we agreed to certain standards, which we've already agreed to in a letter to the county.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fisher.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Lockery, for dealing with the drainage issue, the environmental issue, the incompatibility issue. How many committee meetings have you had on this particular project? I know it's been several years. Do you have any idea of how many numbers of committee meetings?
Yes, again, Robert Lockery on behalf of the applicant. Commissioner, we've had six meetings with the neighborhood, with the entire neighborhood association. In all, I think there's been 11 different opportunities, well, probably more than that, but there's at least 11 distinct opportunities where we've had meetings with them. Probably the one that kind of came to a culmination was actually called as a town hall by our county commissioner back in May.
Thank you, and I want to bring that forward because Senator Geller, obviously, this is in his district. That is shared with Commissioner McKenzie, but this is the part that which Senator Geller represents, and he has brought it forward to us already in anticipation of this coming about. And so he's been very familiar, and I appreciate his efforts dealing with the community, too, and bringing it forth and making the reduction, making the single family as the buffer. So to me, you have really listened to the residents and really made this an opportunity. The Housing Authority obviously is part of this, and so they have been well engaged too. So, and lastly, as a Broward County Commission, obviously the BMSD is ours. We're like the city council for them, and so we sit as that body. And I can tell you also that our number one priority is housing affordability. That's what we are focusing on. We did it our legislative session this past week. It continues to be housing affordability an issue here in Broward County. So I commend the authority for making this truly, truly affordable, even in the deed restrictions as well. So blessings, my friend, and thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further discussion? Mayor Levy.
Just to kind of follow up on what Commissioner Fisher said, really it is great to see that a housing authority is stepping up to construct more affordable housing and workforce housing. Not all housing authorities are executing on adding units rather than just managing their existing units. So I applaud the Fort Lauderdale Housing Authority for you know, really fulfilling its mission and its purpose, and for the county for, of course, supporting this in the Municipal Services District, because you know there is a limitation on where we can build much net needed housing, and this is of course very, very low scale and low density in the end of the day, like you said, considering the 40 almost acres that this is. So with that, I just do want to make a motion to approve the application as recommended in the Planning Council staff report.
Second that as a county project.
Excellent. We have a motion made by Mayor Levy And we have a second by Commissioner Fisher. Further discussion on this item? Ms. Blakeboy.
If you are online, you can raise your hand to vote for it or text me, Andy. Advise me.
Excellent.
Okay.
Any further discussion on this item?
One final comment.
Thank you.
To the residents that came today, I know that you haven't always felt like you had a voice and you've been an integral part of this process. As I said, we have to evaluate this today on the policies of the planning council. Continue to stay involved. I am also concerned about that being in a local area of particular concern, but they will not be able to get through the permitting process if they don't address the environmental issues. So please stay involved. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Council Member. I was about to say the exact same thing, but you said it very eloquently, so I won't repeat you. But we do appreciate you being here today. With that, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. I have Mayor Brunson voting yes. I have Adam Geller voting yes. I have Dave Rosenoff voting yes.
Any opposed?
And I believe that, and Michelle Gomez voted yes also, and school member, board member Seaman is offline.
Excellent. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much. Okay, Ms. Blakeboy.
That concludes our business. I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving holiday.
Before we...
Halloween,
it's almost,
too.
Almost Halloween. We're not quite at Halloween.
You don't mean to go
a couple comments before we go. If you guys get a chance... Our bagel fund's getting a little bit low, so if we can add a little bit to it, that'd be great. Secondly, happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. And for the record, one more time, your staff has been incredible through the Broward Next process. What you online, for those who, and I say this for the folks watching at home, if you want to learn what's happening, see what's been done to date, the website is second to none the way you've set that up right now. So, again, thank you for doing that. If you have comments, concerns, please comment around the website, reach out to Ms. Blakeboy. Again, thank you all very much. Enjoy a couple small holidays in between before we get to the big one. So see you all in December.
Amen.
That is, without exception, we are adjourned.